Our next case this morning is Flores against the Village of Bensonville.
Good morning, judges. May it please the court.
We do allow your adversary to at least find a seat. Go ahead, Mr. Gutierrez.
Thank you, Judge. Judge, this case comes before the court on the number of allegations about what had occurred to and what has been going on between the Village of Bensonville and my clients, Mr. and Mrs. Juan and Antonia Flores. One of the issues, the main issues in this case, is whether we have established a prima facie case concerning the number of Fair Housing Act violations that we have raised. My opponent admits to the first three prongs of the Fair Housing Act, that is, that they were Hispanic, that they were that the defendants knew they were Hispanic, and that there were certain irregularities, I would call them. For instance, not having water is an irregularity. Not getting adequate fire protection is an irregularity. Not having their permits validated, or having them validated and then rescinded after relying upon good faith that they could rebuild their structures, one after the fire, one after a new roof had to have been installed. We submit, Judge, that the argument for both of these issues is twofold, and we are going to argue that those are pretextual. One is that the 1941 structure authorized only one structure per lot was pretextual, and certainly after the fire at 238 Park, relying on the 1967 nonconformity was highly pretextual. And in this sense, this is the one that I would like to point to first. Man had a fire in his residence. They said that the 1967 law does not allow for them to rebuild their residence if it could be shown that the fire did over 50% damage of what the value of the house is. The reason I say that that's pretextual is because if you look at the record as a whole, you would see that there are more than several buildings around Mr. Flores' house at 238 Park that indeed have nothing remotely looking as though they were light industrial. Quite to the contrary, all around Mr. Flores, there are multi-unit dwellings, multi-residences. In fact, this area has become quite an affluent area or up-and-coming area where there are some very large residences in that area. So the pretext that say, well, we're rescinding your permits because, A, you weren't entitled to them in the first place, even though we issued them and you relied on them, got architects to spend money for them.
If I could interrupt, counsel, does the record contain evidence that these other residences that you're referring to sought building permits to rebuild or do repairs that exceeded 50% of the assessed value of the properties?
They do not, Judge. But what it does contain is, by inference, is that these residents exist and these residents have been there not as long as Mr. Flores, and that they have been allowed to build. Now, whether the record has actual permits that were pulled, they do not. But they do have photographs of these structures that went up, and none of these photographs that were presented show that these buildings are anything but residences. There's no light industrial applications in any of these properties that were shown. There were shown four properties, and I believe one of them had a dry cleaner. And that's it. So, yeah, you know, I'm showing that the record has a negative, by negative inference, certain things that were done to Mr. and Mrs. Flores that were not done to any of his neighbors, but there are no there's no evidence of the actual permits that were pulled that were later rescinded. It's like showing a negative, you know. If I show that these people's heads were cut off, I don't need to show that everybody else's heads is still on to show that there's a negative inference. Here, we showed photographs of the surrounding area, and it's, even though they say it's zoned light industrial since 1967, which is correct, people have been allowed in Bensonville to go about, build their homes, add to their structures, add to their residence, and this is just in plain view. This is, if it were determined that, you know, we needed to depose somebody to say, well, did you get a permit to add a new residential structure to your lot? The answer would be obviated by the fact that there's a new structure on their lot subsequent to 1967. So, in fact, subsequent to Mr. Flores being denied these permits. Again, Judge, it's a little disconcerting to have Bensonville tell my clients, well, you know, you've proven everything, but you haven't shown the actual, you haven't proven that our stand is a valid stand, that we're relying on the 1967 statute for light industrial. If, on the other hand, there was, you know, all around them some type of mom and pop shops opening up where there was light industrial mixed use, then this would be a different story. But if you see this neighborhood and you see the photographs that I submitted, they're all residential. And one of them, right across from Mr. Flores, on the other side of Park Avenue, I went there with my own two eyes and saw a what looks like a California hotel type of residence, where it has a bottom level with multi-units and a top level with multi-units on the same structure as the house behind it. Now, these are photographs I submitted. Now, did I go one step further and go pull these permits from the village? I did not. But you could certainly see where these have been added long after this statute went into effect. And what really amounts to here is all of this evidence showing this negative inference that Mr. and Mrs. Flores were...
Excuse me, counsel, would you please face the court?
I apologize, Judge. I apologize. It's mine. But, I mean, Your Honor's correct. I didn't go and pull and see what permits were pulled and what nationalities they were. I did notice that they were Caucasian, that they were white owners around him, and that there was new structures.
Also Caucasian.
Yes, Judge, I apologize. They are Caucasian. I meant white.
It's not clear what that word adds to any of these cases.
Right. I agree. So, you know, this has been a long-standing battle. It seems almost on the surface to be each instance to be somewhat trivial. You know, not getting tree service, the dragging of the feet in a fire. We never know how fires should be put out. I didn't have a fire expert to say, well, you know, if you didn't show up in 15, 20 minutes and didn't start putting water on until the next 10 minutes, that this is per se a violation. I didn't do that. But certainly I showed that through other witnesses that they, too, believed that the fire department was taking their time, that they were not acting as rapidly as possible. The tree trimming, they had a person from the village come out and say, well, you know, if that tree falls and hurt somebody, well, then at least you'll get some respite from that. So, on the whole, Judge, it seems like there's enough violations to suggest that maybe something else is underfoot here. And to have it dismissed on summary judgment, it seems radically unfair. I will reserve some time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Counsel. Mr. Condon.
May it please the court, counsel. The district court properly held that the Village of Bensonville defendants were entitled to summary judgment with respect to plaintiffs' claims under the Fair Housing Act. There is no evidence, contrary to counsel's arguments, there is no evidence in the record that the plaintiffs here were subjected to disparate treatment because of their national origin. With respect to plaintiffs' claims that they were denied certain public services by the village, for example, tree removal, fire protection, plaintiffs have offered no evidence in the record that the village treated similarly situated non-Hispanic persons differently or more favorably when rendering such services. With respect to the tree issue, in fact, the village did cut down the tree. The fire protection, the fire department did show up, went into the house, tried to see if anyone was in there. Thank goodness there wasn't. And then they put out the fire. The only claim where the district court even found that the plaintiffs had established a prima facie case for disparate treatment was the claim that the village had rescinded a building permit for 238 Park, which then denied the Floreses the ability to rebuild their residence. But the district court also properly held that the village had legitimate and non-discriminatory reasons for denying plaintiffs the permit. In 1967, the village rezoned some of its residential property to light industrial. 238 Park was one of those rezoned properties. Once rezoned, 238 Park became a nonconformity under the village's code. Moreover, under the village's code, when a minor reconstruction of a nonconformity is permitted, while it is permitted, a major reconstruction is not. If a nonconformity requires major reconstruction, which is in excess of 50% of the replacement value of the structure, then the nonconformity must be eliminated. Plaintiffs admit here in the record that 238 was a nonconformity under the village's codes, and that the repair work constituted major reconstruction, and that such reconstruction is prohibited by the village's codes. Most importantly, plaintiffs have presented no evidence that the village used its codes to discriminate against them because they're Hispanic. Contrary to council's arguments, there's no evidence in the record that the village has ever allowed non-Hispanic property owners to rebuild their residences if they've been destroyed more than 50% of the replacement value. There's no evidence in the record that the village has allowed non-Hispanic owners to build structures that did not comply with the village's codes.
What's in the pictures?
The pictures that council is referring to, I must say, I'm not sure what he's talking about. The pictures that are in the record that I'm aware of are pictures of the Flores' properties.
Not surrounding properties?
I'm not aware of pictures of surrounding properties, other than I know that in the record there was testimony by the plaintiffs that they observed houses where there were rear structures, and they believed the people were living in those rear structures and they weren't able to do so.
But that's the res judicata
issue. That goes
issue.
To the res judicata issue and is not before this court. This is a light industrial area. There are multifamily dwellings there. There are commercial buildings there. And there are houses there, but they're nonconformities. Next, the district court properly held that plaintiffs presented no evidence that the village's codes have a discriminatory impact upon Hispanics. The record in this case clearly demonstrates that the village's codes apply to all residents, not just Hispanic residents. The plaintiffs have offered no statistical evidence in this case which would support or tend to show that the village's codes have a disparate impact upon Hispanics. In addition, plaintiffs have presented no evidence, Your Honors, in this record that the village subjected them to any discriminatory intent because of their national origin. Illinois courts have long recognized the purpose of nonconformity ordinances and have upheld the constitutionality of the 50% rule. The Floreses don't challenge that. Although not argued by counsel, I would also respectfully submit that the district court properly upheld the summary judgment with respect to plaintiff's claims under Section 1981, 2, and 3. Plaintiffs make no argument in their briefs on those claims, so I believe they're waived. In addition, there is no evidence of intentional discrimination to support those claims. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Condon. Anything further, Mr. Gutierrez?
Yes, sir.
You have about 30 seconds.
Briefly, Judge.
I recall that there were photographs which showed the cleaners that we were talking about and the other structures around, and I would be happy to point those out in the record at some point if that becomes an issue. I think, Mr. and Mrs. Flores were discriminated because of their national origin, and the disparate treatment is not a statistical number per se. It's one that was directed against them, and they have been discriminated against. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.